Support for podcasts of Medical Monday comes from the hospitals of HealthQuest and HealthQuest Medical Practice, physicians offering primary and specialty health care in private office settings throughout the Hudson Valley. 1-888-525-HQMP or 4767 for appointments.
Hello once again, and welcome back to the Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us today, and we're lucky to have him, is Dr. Amir Harandi. Dr. Harandi is medical oncologist with the Dyson Center for Cancer Care at Vassar Brothers Medical Center in Poughkeepsie. He specializes in thoracic and gastrointestinal malignancies. Prior to working with the Dyson Center, he worked with the Norton Cancer Institute in Louisville, Kentucky. He also served on the faculty of the University of Louisville and as assistant professor of internal medicine at St. Luke's Roosevelt Hospital of Columbia University. Dr. Harandi earned his medical degree from St. George's University of Medicine in Granada. He completed his residency in internal medicine at both Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center at St. Luke's Roosevelt Hospital. He's board certified by the American Board of Medical Oncology, the American Board of Medical Hematology, and the American Board of Internal Medicine. He also has a Master of Science degree in Human Nutrition from Columbia University. Dr. Harandi, welcome to Medical Monday.
Thank you, Alan. Pleasure to be here.
I'm delighted you took the long trip up and got to talk to us.
It's a nice drive. Thank you.
It is. Let me start by asking you, what is the hottest thing that you're working on now, which offers us so much promise?
Well, I think, Alan, where the field is really heading, and it's just truly miraculous and amazing, is in immunotherapy. And so we're starting to see that immunogenic tumors like melanoma, lung cancer, renal kidney cancer, and many other types are responding to these agents like in ways we never really dreamed of. And it's just it's beautiful to see. So, I mean, a significant portion are responding. We still have a lot of work to do, but when patients have not had much options, we've gotten miraculous results, and a couple of years later, they're still doing really well. So
let me start by asking you, how's it look? I mean, is it a vial of something that you've produced and then you inject it into somebody, into the tumor or into their bodies, or how does it work?
Well, so these are antibodies, and basically an antibody is a monoclonal antibody. They're manufactured. And so it's in a bag, and it looks like a bag of fluids, and they're given intravenously once every two to three weeks. So how they basically work mechanistically is that these tumors basically have a shield around them. And for the longest time, we've been stimulating T cells to try to get rid of cancers, and we haven't been successful. It's because the tumors have essentially a block, a protective mechanism. And that mechanism is called the PD-1 pathway. So these are antibodies that are given IV, and they go there right to the site where the tumor protects itself and removes that block. And it allows the T cells, our immune system, to destroy tumor cells. And, you know, tumors the size of my fist can just melt away, and it's just unbelievable.
Okay, so give us two success stories.
Okay, so about a year and a half ago, I had a patient who I was treating with non-small cell lung adenocarcinoma. He had a giant tumor that was coming out of his side. You know, a poor guy was miserable. He was essentially hunched over coming into the office. And he had exhausted all options in terms of chemotherapy, radiation, surgery. Nothing really left for him. And we had nivolumab, otherwise known as Opdivo, on a clinical trial at that time. So I said to him, Tim, you know, let's try this. We have it. And he said, sure. He took the papers home with him to look at it. And that day, the clinical trial closed. And I called him and said, look, the trial's closed. Just come back and let's see what we can do. We called the company, and they made an exception for him. He was the last person to get on the trial. And it was remarkable, you know, 3 weeks later, 6 weeks later, he's coming into the clinic and he's standing upright and this giant tumor is gone.
Whoa.
And I just got word from my prior nurse practitioner. It's been about a year and a half now, and he has no evidence of cancer on his scans, and he's just doing wonderful.
So let me get this straight. So this is a clinical trial. At what point does that clinical trial, which seems to work so well, become part of our medicine?
Well, so Opdivo and pembrolizumab, these are these two PD-1 antibody therapies. At that time, we're on clinical trial for people that had prior chemotherapy. Now they're FDA approved as of last year for people with non-small cell lung, either squamous or adenocarcinoma. It's FDA approved in the second line setting after chemotherapy. So I had another patient who was in the hospital at Vassar, being treated by a large cancer center in New York City, and she got sick and came to the hospital. She was on standard chemotherapy, and unfortunately, she wasn't doing very well at all. She was bedbound, really not eating much. Her right lung was full of fluid, a big tumor going into the abdomen and go into the liver. And we got her the immunotherapy, and it's been about 3 months now, and her scans are basically show a resolution of disease, and she looks great. So
can you get this immunotherapy in all hospitals now, or is it restricted to some?
No, it's available as, again, it's so for melanoma, it's FDA approved in the first line setting. For lung cancer, it's FDA approved in the second line setting.
What does that mean?
So that means if you had second line, mean you had prior treatment with some form of chemotherapy like carboplatin or cisplatin, prior platinum chemotherapy. Mm-hmm. So if you want to get it in the first line setting, it's got to be in a clinical trial. And actually, we're at Vassar, at Dyson, we're in the process of opening up that clinical trial that's going to give the people of Hudson Valley access. So if they've got stage 4 lung cancer, either squamous cell carcinoma or adenocarcinoma, they can get this immunotherapy plus another one, which just came out a few months ago, that using two immunotherapy together can almost double the response rates. And that's how quickly the field is moving.
No, that's really wonderful. Yeah. I mean, I tend to look at, see what the survival rates are on something like lung cancer. For years, it was like 5% after 5 years. But that's changing, yes?
It is, you know, and we haven't yet started using the word cure in this situation.
Sure.
But we're heading in that direction because we're seeing with just one of these immunotherapies, about 10 to 15% of patients are surviving potentially long term. So we're seeing a flattening of the curve. And just like that, you know, with another immunotherapy added on top of this one. So the other one basically is removing the brakes off of the T cells, our immune system. So not only does a tumor block our T cells, but it sends a signal to shut them down as well too. So these two,
a T cell, once again, is
our immune system.
Okay.
So basically, while you got the PD-1 antibody that I was just talking about removes the block, you've got another one called the CTLA-4, which removes the brakes off of our immune system, off of the T cells. So it allows the T cells to kind of rush in there, and then the immunotherapy.
Interesting.
Together, that combination.
Okay. So let me see if I get this right. I'm a simplistic man, but you have a tumor. It is surrounded by basically a shield. We've never been able to get through that shield. What the immunotherapy has been able to do is to allow us to get through the shield.
Exactly. So what we've been doing, so if we go back to the history of immunotherapy, you know, way back in the mid-18th century, a surgeon by the name of William Coley have found that patients with sarcomas that got bacterial infections were having their tumors go away. So there was an immunological response.
Hmm.
So we knew that the immune system can potentially do something. In the last 20 years or so, we've been doing is trying to stimulate our T cells with vaccines and other ways, but they haven't been, you know, responses have been few and far between. So we can get these robust T cell responses, but when they get to the site of the tumor, they don't do anything. And you can actually think of it as pregnancy. You know, pregnancy, you have a foreign, you know, a fetus in a mother's womb. And the same mechanism that the fetus uses to protect itself from the mother's immune system is the exact same mechanism that the tumors protect itself from our immune system to grow. Yeah.
Well, let's get one fast question in here. Let's go to Jim in Malta. Okay, Jim, you're on.
Hi, thanks for taking my call, doctors.
Sure.
I'm probably a very terrible patient. I should have looked up all this information a year ago when I was first diagnosed with bladder cancer. And I had surgery last April, and I'm having my annual follow-up next week.
Mm-hmm.
And I've put that out of my mind completely. Having the thought about it, if I see something on TV about cancer, I shut it off.
Sure.
But now I have to face the reality of next week.
Sure.
Have they come up with any silver bullet for bladder cancer?
Well, actually, thank you for calling. Yes. Well, the immunotherapy with bladder cancer is one of the types of cancers that we're seeing actually really good responses with it. And Genentech has a monoclonal antibody that targets this PD-1, PD-L1 pathway called atezolizumab. And so this monoclonal antibody is not yet FDA approved, but it is available on clinical trials for people that have had prior treatment for bladder cancer that's advanced. You may even be able to get it if you've never had chemotherapy as well, too.
How would he do that, Doc?
So clinical trials basically are available pretty much everywhere. So you try to find someplace that's relatively close to you, whether it's a large academic institution, private practices.
Is there a list of these things?
Yes.
You go to the NIH?
Private practices and hospital-based programs have clinical trials. So the best site to go to is called clinicaltrials.gov. So you go to clinicaltrials.gov, you put in bladder cancer, and then you start putting in, like, let's say, nivolumab or pembrolizumab or atezolizumab, and you do a search. And you can see within the New York area regionally where these clinical trials are available. And it's actually very user-friendly. It'll say recruiting, it'll say all these things. So,
Interesting. Well,
I haven't had chemo or anything. When I had the surgery, the doctor said he looks like he got everything. But my type of bladder cancer has a 75% recurrence rate. So, would chemo be the normal first thing to do if it's
sir, your cancer doesn't come back. But in the event that it does, it might be a situation where the immunotherapy might be the first-line treatment, potentially. Or
okay, thank you.
Immunotherapy.
I guess other people that get this, I'm just shocked a year later that it happened to me.
Sure. I'm pretty happy that we have Doctor with us today. Because I never heard of a good deal of this, and I think a lot of people are writing down the whole concept of clinical trials and immunotherapy, because it could save and will save a lot of lives.
And
thank you very much.
Sure.
I really appreciate it.
And one of the reasons I thought about just coming here was just to tell people out there that if you've got an advanced cancer, look into the immunotherapy option because it could really make a dramatic difference in your care, and try not to let that go, at least that option, if it is available.
We are going to take a lot of calls, I'm sure. We're going to be back in a few minutes. No, we're going to be back in a few seconds. So 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Somebody's life could be saved here, folks. 1-800-348-2551. Want to hear from you. We'll be right back.
Support comes from Ichiban Japanese and Chinese Restaurant, Central Avenue, Albany, serving hibachi dinners, sushi, sashimi, curry soups, Thai, and entrees. Offering daily specials, 518-432-0358. Protex Gloves, helping to provide relief from chronic skin and hand conditions, including peripheral neuropathy, scleroderma, Raynaud's, and eczema. UVA and UVB sun protection, protexgloves.com. The Urological Institute of Community Care Physicians, a team of four uro-oncologists with 75 years of combined experience, providing advanced robotic surgery for kidney, bladder, and prostate cancer. Urologyoncology.com. Curtis Lumber, specializing in deck and dock design, featuring Trex composite decking and railings, PlayStar dock hardware, and more. Design consultation available, CurtisLumber.com. And from Lori Stillwell, CPA PC, providing tax and accounting services for businesses and their owners in Saratoga Springs and beyond. StillwellCPA.com.
Here's the way it is, folks. All five phones are ringing off the hook right now. So you have to wait until somebody else hangs up, and then you have to call. Now, if you want to get in, here's what I would say. What you do is you dial everything except the last digit of 1-800-348-2551, and then as soon as the last person hangs up, you dial a 1. Get it? Okay, 1-800-348-2551. We'll go to Sarah, okay, in Round Lake. Sarah, you're on. Sarah, are you there?
Yes.
Go ahead.
I have a friend with non-small cell lung cancer, and he found out it spread to his kidney and adrenal gland. At that point, would immunotherapy be an option?
Well, thank you for calling, Sarah. Absolutely. If your friend has never been treated before...
He started on chemo and radiation.
Okay.
And that failed.
And if chemotherapy with radiation has failed, then yes, one of the two antibodies, either nivolumab or potentially pembrolizumab, are FDA approved and they are options as treatment. And I would say probably the medical oncologist, I'm sure, has brought that up as well too.
Yeah. Okay. Just for the hell of it, why don't you spell those two?
So nivolumab is otherwise known as Opdivo, O-P-D-I-V-O. Nivolumab, we kind of call it sometimes Nivo, N-I-V-O-L-U-M-A-B. Pembrolizumab is actually the PD-1 antibody that Jimmy Carter got for his melanoma.
Interesting.
Yeah. And that one
seems to be working.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, there's also a hint that if one has radiation therapy, the radiation therapy, which Jimmy Carter, by the way, had, the radiation therapy can act sort of like a vaccine, because what it does is it kind of blows the tumor up, and then the T cells recognize it, so it hyperstimulates the T cells. So if you get radiation, so Sarah, your friend who had radiation might actually potentially respond better to immunotherapy. That's called the abscopal effect. It's a fancy term, but... So Jimmy Carter had radiation to his brain lesions and then got the immunotherapy. And a couple of my phenomenal responders that I just described to you had radiation therapy to their primary lesion, which perhaps accounted for why they had such an amazing response.
Sarah, thank you. Thank you
okay,
so much.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, bye-bye. Bye. Okay, we'll go to Richard in Queensbury. Richard, you're on. Hello, Richard?
Are you there? Situation there, but you just touched it.
Oh, hi, Richard.
I got one more question, though.
Sure.
Is there something you can do for pancreatic cancer?
Well, thanks for calling, Jimmy. You know, pancreatic cancer has been notoriously very difficult. You know, you might have heard that it's actually going to be surpassing breast cancer in terms of mortality here in the United States. So historically, we've just had a lot of difficulty treating pancreatic cancer because their tumors are so dense and they have so much... have so much fibrosis and the stroma is so hard for these drugs to penetrate. So I recently got back from GI ASCO in San Francisco, where the keynote speaker from UPenn presented some data, and it was data in animal models with localized pancreatic cancer. And it was pretty remarkable, because what these animal models showed in mice models was that if these mice got just a immunotherapy with a PD-1 targeted agent, it didn't work. If they got a PD-1 plus a CTLA-4, the one I mentioned before, the dual antibodies, it didn't work. But when they got it with radiation, most of the mice were cured. So we could be looking at a situation in the next few years that if we pick up pancreatic cancer early and we combine it with a focused radiation plus an immunotherapy combination, we may be able to make a dramatic difference.
So, Doc, when are we going to be, and I think Richard is going to ask this question anyway, so when are we going to be looking for a better way to find that cancer? You said if we pick it up early. The big problem is we can't find it early because we don't have a good test. It's hidden by other organs. How do we do that?
Well, you know, and that's been the problem, of course, is diagnosing these things early enough. We are sort of, at least in some other fields, such as lung cancer, moving towards using blood tests where we can do liquid biopsies. In other words, we can determine genetic factors within these tumors just on a blood test. Mm. So I would say it's very likely that in the next few years, we'll be able to have blood tests that at least be able to tell us that, you know, this person is highly susceptible and perhaps should have screening tests done.
The kind of stuff we can do with breast cancer now.
That's correct. Yeah. At least screening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Richard, thank you for your wonderful call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
1-800-348-2551, or you can write us right here at Vox Pop. One word, voxpop at WAMC.org. Again, voxpop at WAMC.org. We'll try to get everybody in. Mark from Ulster County. Okay, Mark, you're on.
Okay, thank you very much. Sure. I have Sjogren's, which is an autoimmune disease, and I was in the hospital, and the hematologist saw me and wanted to see me outside. He saw me outside. He said that I have multiple myeloma, and the prognosis is I should live about 6 or 7 years. So that was a couple of years ago. So I'm wondering about immunotherapy.
Sure, Mark. Thank you for calling. So there is actually work being done with a Merck compound called, of course, what we just mentioned before, pembrolizumab or Keytruda, the same one that Jimmy Carter got. So there are some clinical trials out there that is using pembrolizumab plus other treatments for multiple myeloma. It sounds like your multiple myeloma, based on genetic studies on your bone marrow, perhaps has some sounds like some good risk features, at least, with a prognosis of 6 to 7 years. And also, you know, when we say 6 to 7 years, Mark, that number may not hold true. I mean, I tell you time and time again, I've sat with patients and I've told them this, look, we think 6 to 7 years, but in 3 or 4 years, we're probably going to have something that's going to be really amazing. That's going to make a huge difference. And, you know, years have gone by and it turned out to be that way. So, as far as immunotherapy with these agents and Sjogren's, in general, most of the trials out there exclude patients that have significant autoimmune disease, like if one has, say, a history of inflammatory bowel disease, like ulcerative colitis or Crohn's, or, you know, but they allow, let's say, one that has hypothyroidism. So if your Sjogren's is sort of perhaps mild, it could depend on the trial, and it could depend on certain factors, you know, between entry and not. We don't know with respect to autoimmune diseases, like if we treat somebody who's got significant ulcerative colitis, could we potentially stimulate and trigger a life-threatening colitis in that situation? So we don't know these things yet. We're gathering data. We're learning more and more. We're sort of, you know, entering a kind of a world of an unknown with these immunotherapies, and we're learning more as we go. So it sounds like with Sjogren's that, you know, that option in the future could be there. And also, we don't know if these treatments potentially may or may not work in multiple myeloma. My hunch is that it probably will, I hope, because I had a patient who had Hodgkin's lymphoma, and this is just really, this one hits home, because the guy's 42 years old, and, you know, he's my age, and I was treating him, and he had been on multiple different treatments, and he wasn't doing well. So I basically tried to send him everywhere to get one of these PD-1 antibodies, and he was not eligible because he never had a transplant. He had declined an auto transplant, so he wasn't able to get it. And he had no other standard options, and we talked to his insurance company, and they approved nivolumab for him. And that was back in July. He got it, and to this day, he has no evidence of his lymphoma.
Wow.
So these are Hodgkin's lymphoma, and the reason why they approved it was soon before that, in December, there was a study at American Society of Hematology ASH conference which showed 85% response rates with these agents. There is already preliminary evidence that these agents and pembrolizumab has activity in multiple myeloma. It remains to be seen. You know, there are a lot of options, you know, that are out there,
Mark.
At least, Mark, with myeloma, that you still potentially have, because there's a whole slew of new agents that have been approved.
Okay, so let's duck. So you're Mark. Now, you've called in. You have this very good question. He's given you his case. What should he do? I mean, physically, what should he do? Should he pick up the phone and call a cancer center? Should he pick up the phone? And where have you been being treated, Mark?
Well, the guy who gave me the diagnosis sent me for a bone scan and some other tests, but I never heard back from him, so I'm going to find another doctor, maybe.
So what should he do?
Well, I think the thing to do is, obviously, is, you know, what is the stage of the multiple myeloma? Does it require treatment? Some of these we call smoldering myeloma, whereby we know it's present in the bone marrow, but the blood counts are normal. It's not causing kidney dysfunction. The calcium level is not elevated. There are no bone lesions. These can be observed, and sometimes they don't do anything for a few years. So it may not even require treatment up front. But if it does require treatment, you know, there are actually really pretty good therapies for multiple myeloma that are non-chemotherapy. They're targeted agents, and they work exceptionally well with 90% response rates.
Really?
Yeah. So the options are there. The immunotherapy may be something that can just be added to the list of multiple other antibodies and targeted agents of myeloma. But we've made incredible progress in myeloma, and it's been really nice.
Mark, there are a lot of people behind you. We thank you for your call. Let's go to Hillary in Old Chatham. Okay, welcome, Hillary.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I have a question. I have a friend, she's 50,
and she's in very late stages of LMS. And forgive me, I don't know the exact translation of that cancer, but can you tell me if there are any clinical trials that would apply for her? She's down in South Carolina area. And if it doesn't apply to that kind of cancer, can you tell me why?
Sure. It sounds like she has what sounds to be leiomyosarcoma, which is a very aggressive, unfortunate condition, a sarcoma. There are some targeted therapies. One of them is called Votrient or pazopanib. She's probably had that. I'm sure she's probably had kind of aggressive chemotherapy as well, too. Sarcomas, as far as immunotherapies go, we don't know yet if they work or not. They're being tested in clinical trials so that, you know, if she's in South Carolina, perhaps near a major medical institution or some large group practices that might have a immunotherapy trial, it could be worthwhile to do it because it seems like, you know, we've got lung cancers and melanoma and kidney and bladder and Hodgkin's, and these are the high responders. They have they're kind of hot for the immune system. And then there's others that don't appear to be as hot, but still can respond. So triple negative breast cancers appear as a small percentage does respond, but sometimes when they do respond, it could be kind of dramatic. So, you know, looking for a trial to see if there is an immunotherapy trial, and if there is one and there's no other options, you know, it's something to certainly
consider.
Could you go,
for example, to Google, which is now a favorite of mine for looking up all my various perceived diseases, and write in LMS immunotherapy trials, you'd probably get something back, wouldn't you?
You could. And you can also do that on clinicaltrials.gov, which probably would
clinicaltrials.gov.
be a little bit. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to forward her that information. She's had some pretty expensive surgeries, and I think she sort of defied a lot of odds with those surgeries.
Right.
Mm-hmm. She was a physical fitness instructor, and they seem to think that seemed to have, you know, that lifestyle has sort of helped her in this case.
Absolutely.
But the growths that are coming, like she had a procedure about almost 2 years ago that, you know, she didn't stand a great chance of surviving, but came back and very strongly. But now she has a growth that's actually almost exterior on her spine, plus she has growths on her diaphragm.
Well, Hillary, give her a call, and thank you for calling. As you can understand,
there
are a lot of other people who want to get on. Thank you very
Absolutely.
Much. Yeah, bye.
All right.
You. Okay, and Bill in Gloversville. Bill, you're on.
Doctors, I am a former smoker of menthol cigarettes. I quit smoking August 18th and started a regimen of mega doses of vitamin C. What are the odds of contracting lung cancer considering I am taking vitamin C?
Well, thank you for calling, Bill. You know, one of the things you could consider is CAT scan screening if you've had a history of extensive smoking, and you may be able to qualify for that. And because with CAT scan screening, obviously lung cancers could potentially be picked up early and curable. We don't really have any data to show that high doses of vitamin C can work to prevent lung cancer. We knew that from other supplement studies that the use of beta carotene in people that were smoking actually increased the risk of lung cancer. So it's not clear if vitamin C is effective or maybe not. You know, one of the things about, you know, people are taking lots of vitamins, and we have the rationale that it can help potentially stimulate our immune system to fight cancer. And let's say it does. The problem is, again, it's this shield within the tumors that can prevent that from going away. So while our immune system requires at least adequate amounts of vitamins A, B, C, E, folic acid, and other minerals, it's not clear that, and the studies haven't consistently shown any benefit. So what I would suggest to you, Bill, is to take, is really try to eat a, you know, well-balanced diet, get a good amount of protein, good protein, because our immune system depends on protein, a diet that's rich in fruits and vegetables, And a healthy lifestyle with activity and exercise. You know, most of the cancers, about two-thirds, are related to either smoking, obesity, poor diet, or lack of exercise. And these are things that
well,
we can do.
Thank you very much, Doctor.
Sure. Oh, yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you, Bill. Okay. Let's go to Jim in Adams, Massachusetts. Jim, you're on.
Good afternoon, Alan. What a program you've got on today.
Isn't this great? Go ahead, Jim.
I was just wondering if the doctor is at all aware that in 1938, the Nobel Prize for Medicine was won by a Dr. Warburg, who proved through experimentation that no known cancers at that time could not thrive, could not even survive in an alkaline environment. And I know that some people I've heard have been treating for cancers recently have been advised to alter their diets to enhance their alkalinity of their blood chemistry. I myself have been taking powdered kelp with unsweetened apple juice and apple cider vinegar for a year or two now to alkalize my blood chemistry.
Well, thanks for calling, Jim. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that the theory is out there. I don't believe it's been perhaps proven to show that it works.
If you look up Dr. Warburger in 1938, mm-hmm. Nobel
yeah,
Prize.
Yeah, but, well, 1938 was a long time ago.
He proved it through experimentation.
Sure. And I think that, you know, what we kind of need are good sort of, you know, it's been so much time and time again that I've seen that we thought something was going to work until we did a randomized trial whereby people didn't know what they were getting, and this is a hard one to do because, I mean, how are you going to do this trial, right? That's the difficulty, and that's probably why. So if you randomize people to one drug or another, we were absolutely certain it was going to work, and then we found out it didn't. So it's very well possible. I think that's the problem that we have is that, you know, a study like this, which requires a lot of patience and a lot of manpower behind it and funding, is very difficult to do. So,
yeah. Well, Jim, I want to get to everybody else. And thank you for that very good idea. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. Let's go to Deborah in Latham. Deborah in Latham, you're on.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having this show. I wish I could get in touch with Hillary because I'm calling about a friend of mine who also has leiomyosarcoma, and she's 5 years out from diagnosis. She's had two chemo rounds, including doxorubicin. She has a tumor on her spine and metastasis into her lungs. And so I was wondering whether, first of all, immunotherapy for lung cancer is, you know, applicable when it's a metastasized cancer or whether that is not the case. And second of all, I did do the Googling that Dr. Chartok suggested I do that periodically and found a rare case at Johns Hopkins where they were using streptococcus to fight that they gave to a leiomyosarcoma patient. And I'm guessing that's different from immunotherapy, but I wondered if you could speak to those two points.
Yeah, great questions, Deborah. So if it's metastasized to the lung, it's going to depend exactly on the exact tumor type. So we don't know if leiomyosarcoma responds well to immunotherapy because it's being tested in clinical trials. So it wouldn't that be, say, a lung cancer if it's metastasized to the lung. So I hope that answers kind of your first question.
Yeah.
The second question with regards to the use of streptococcus, so that really came out from the mid-18th century with a surgeon by the name of William Coley, who noticed that when patients had sarcomas of the extremities and when they got high fevers from a streptococcal infection, some of these patients, their tumors were disappearing. And so he started injecting them at times as well, too, and noticing responses. So I am not certain if there are trials that are going on analyzing this here in the United States, but that is sort of where that kind of rationale came from with respect to that sort of treatment. Yeah.
Do you know if there is a clinical trial that is using immunotherapy specifically for leiomyosarcoma?
Well, I think that it sort of depends, yes. So there will be, and there are for sarcomas, yes. It's kind of one of these kind of broad trials where one has a diagnosis of sarcoma can get on it. Typically, you know, this will you usually find at major medical centers because sarcomas in general probably should be treated at a major medical referral center. And so there
she's
are.
At Duke.
Yeah. I beg
your pardon? She's getting treated at Duke.
So Duke, yeah. And so they very well could have one or in the North Carolina area. And so doing a search on clinicaltrials.gov is sort of one way to find out if something is available in the region.
Deborah, we got to take a break. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it very
much. Thank you very much.
Right.
Thank you.
We'll take a short break. We'll be right back.
Support comes from the Brattleboro Retreats Emerging Adult Program, providing specialized mental health and addiction care for people ages 18 to 26. BrattleboroRetreat.org. Ellis Medicine, providing comprehensive cardiac care for heart disease, the leading cause of death, and education on recognizing warning signs. EllisMedicine.org for more information. HPA LiveWell, Albany, New York, providing intensive outpatient psychological services for treatment of eating disorders in and around the Capital Region, albanyhpa.com. And from the Department of Theater Arts, SUNY New Paltz, presenting the Arthur Miller drama, A View from the Bridge, March 3rd through 13th, newpaltz.edu/theater.
Thank you, Zachary. Great music, and we're back with a wonderful guest today, Dr. Amir Harandi, a medical oncologist with the Dyson Center for Cancer Care at Vassar Brothers Medical Center in Poughkeepsie. Okay, we got the phones have been ringing off the hook. We hope we'll be able to get to as many people as possible. So, Doc, let's go back. Lori from Slingerland's. Lori.
Hi. Good afternoon. I'm calling about, I have a question about my brother-in-law. He has stage 4 liver, or I'm sorry, colon cancer with metastasis to the liver. And he's 3.5 years out from diagnosis, so he's already beat the odds. And he's kind of running out of treatment options. So he's been looking into immunotherapy, but hasn't really found anything or anybody who's administering that for that diagnosis. Number one, do you know if any of if there's anything in other states that has approved the FDA approved, or if not, where he could do a clinical trial?
So, Lori, this is a great question. There are actually a subset of colon cancers that do respond to immunotherapy, and in stage 4 disease, is what I gather here from hearing your story. So these subset of colon cancers have what we call, they're basically what we call MSI high. So all the colon cancers, and I'm sure your brother-in-law has been tested for loss of these mismatch repair genes. And if his tumor is classified as MSI high, these actually have miraculous responses to immunotherapy. And actually, at GI ASCO, they had a whole panel talking about this. And, you know, one of the discussions was that if we do find this, you know, we really should try to get this for our patients. So this sort of effort has been led by Harvard at the Dana-Farber, where they've published in New England Journal of Medicine with pembrolizumab or Keytruda. You can kind of look that up in New England Journal of Medicine so you can get an idea what this MSI high loss of mismatch repair genes are.
And one other thing, can I mention, Lori, you may want to alert your brother-in-law to this program at, you know, Medical Monday, Vox Pop. It's always online, so you can always find it. And if he wants to hear the doctor's discussion of this, because you don't remember every detail, that's a good way to do it.
Yeah, I've already told him that. Thank you, Alan. And does the doctor know of anything that has been FDA approved, though, for this?
Well, it's not yet FDA approved. It's available on a clinical trial. Now, if your brother-in-law has exhausted all options, then, you know, it's sometimes the insurance companies do approve it. And I've had I had a colleague who was able to get it from one patient. And so, but the MSI high in stage 4 colon cancer is a small percentage of colon cancers. You know, it's on the order of maybe 5 or 10% or so.
Right.
But if it is discovered, these agents are just pretty miraculous and they can work exceptionally well. So it's something you don't want to, you know, let go and just look into that. And I'm sure he's been tested for it because it is pretty standard to do that test on the tumor sample.
Yeah, he's been tested. He's crossed wild positive, and he's also has Lynch syndrome. He's positive for that.
Well, then if he has Lynch syndrome, then he's going to probably be MSI high. Lynch syndrome are actually very immunogenic. They have a high mutational tumor burden. And so these are the ones that if you look at their biopsy sample, you'll see infiltration of lymphocytes and the immune cells. So the MSI high, the Lynch syndrome phenotype is one of those that will respond to immunotherapy. Very high response rates. Definitely look into that. That could be life-saving. Sure.
Great.
Thank you very much, Lori.
You're welcome.
All right, have a good day.
Take care.
We'll go to Anne in Altamont, 1-800-348-2551. Anne in Altamont, you're on.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Yes, 3 weeks ago, my mother was diagnosed with adenocarcinoma in her kind of at the junction of her small and large bowel. She had been suffering from nausea and was admitted to the hospital, and when they did the CAT scan, they noticed an obstruction, and they did the surgery, and when the surgeon went in there, he saw what he thought was surgical mesh that they use for, like, hernias.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He removed everything he could see, but when they sent that off to pathology, unfortunately, it came back as adenocarcinoma.
And how old, Anne, is your mother-in-law?
She's 84.
84. And is she, does she live on her own, or is she functional? Is she up and about?
She is functional. She lives on her own. All of her children worry that she's by herself, but right now she's in a rehabilitation home, but she's going to be discharged on Wednesday.
And it sounds like, as far as we know, as far as CAT scans and the eye could see, we don't see any other cancer. Is that correct?
They haven't done, I think they were going to do a PET scan at some point to see if it had spread to her liver.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't done that yet because she's been in rehabilitation.
Sure.
I'm just curious about, she does not want to do any chemo because she knows how devastating that can be.
Yeah, and obviously at her age, that can be have a significant potential side effects that it could really get her down. If she does have stage 4 disease, it may be difficult to find an immunotherapy regimen for her. However, it is something that... If again, it goes back to this subset of GI cancers that have loss of these mismatch repair genes, they're MSI high. There might be a trial out there, but typically to get on clinical trials, they require sort of a level of functional status whereby people are up and about most of the day, moving around, eating well, all these sorts of things.
And she is all of those things.
Sure. Yeah. So I think the first thing to do is one is she doesn't have any cancer that is causing her any issues, and it's small, to just observe for a while. And obviously, if she doesn't have any cancer that we see, to continue to observe. If she has a significant amount of tumors that could potentially get her into trouble, then looking into an immunotherapy trial would probably be, you know, the only option, depending on where she lives and her proximity
Actually,
to these things.
Actually, she lives in Poughkeepsie.
Oh, I see. Okay. And, you know, to get to find a trial like that, you know, would require one to probably go closer into New York City or something, which when people get into their mid-80s, obviously that's really hard to do.
Right.
So hopefully, in her case, she doesn't have much that we see or is not causing her problems, and she may go quite an extended duration of time without needing treatments of any sort, where, in fact, at that point, maybe then there might be a trial that could come more locally, or they eventually, you know, a few years down the road, they could be FDA approved as well, too.
I want to remind everybody that we're talking to Dr. Amir Harandi, medical oncologist with the Dyson Center for Cancer Care at Vassar Brothers Medical Center in Poughkeepsie. Okay, listen, Anne, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it
thank
a lot.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, we have two questions that came in by the internet. Doc, greeting doctors. Will immunotherapy help cure type 1 diabetes? What do you think?
I don't know the answer to that. As far as the immunotherapy that's used right now that we've been talking about, the PD-1 and the PD-L1 inhibitors, that shouldn't really be effective for diabetes. I don't know the answer to that. Yeah.
Good answer. David wants to know, I'm not trying to sound inappropriate, but is there a serious consideration of using cannabinoids or medical marijuana? Thank you.
Well, medical marijuana can really help people. And so, you know, where it has its real strengths and utilities is in our patients who are not eating well or have significant nausea from treatments. Because, you know, obviously, if one is not eating well, no matter what we do, they're typically not going to do well.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we just got to have our nutrients. And we've got medications that can help with nausea and appetite, and sometimes they work really well, but sometimes we just can't get people to eat well because the tumors cause suppression of appetite.
Okay,
so,
great.
So it's an option, certainly, for the right patient.
Great. Let's try to finish up. We're running out of time here. Let's go to Mark in Glens Falls. Mark, you're on.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I've been diagnosed with stage 3 bladder cancer about a year ago. Well, actually, I came off of chemotherapy just about a year ago. And everything's been good so far, which I'm really grateful. But my question is, and from what I understand, if this does come back, it'll be pretty much non-curable. But are there alternatives if this does come back?
Sure, Mark. Yeah, thanks for calling. Absolutely. You know, if you were listening in on the program earlier, one of the things we talked about was with bladder cancer. It is one of those types of cancers where the immunotherapy, we're seeing miraculous responses. So hopefully, you know, we pray it never comes back. If it were to come back, immunotherapy is something that at some point, you know, you should definitely look to get. And it will probably be FDA approved within the next 6 to 9 months for people that have had prior treatments. The question is, you know, when we use the term cure, we've got patients now with melanoma, lung cancers, kidney cancers, and perhaps even bladder that are a few years out now without any evidence of recurrence. So we haven't yet adopted the word cure yet in these kind of situations, but there's going to be a subset of patients who get immunotherapy, potentially with bladder cancer, that may never recur if they are very immunogenic. So that is something just to, you know, keep an eye out for it in the future. Hopefully it never comes back. You know, keep following up, you know, with your urologist and getting, you know, the appropriate surveillance test. But it's certainly an option down the road.
Thank you, Mark. Let's go to Chris in Rensselaer, 1-800-348-2551. Go ahead, Chris.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I was diagnosed and treated for non-Hodgkin lymphoma last year, and I'm in remission now. But, you know, in the event that it does recur, I would like some options.
Sure.
So I was just wondering if you had any information about non-Hodgkin lymphoma.
Absolutely. Chris, may I ask, what type of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma is it?
Okay. It's diffuse large B-cell lymphoma.
And you've treated it, and they've told you that it's gone away?
Well, yeah, it's in remission. Mm-hmm. It was in my spleen. It was a particular cell type that was a little bit harder to treat.
Gotcha.
I had a kind of a combination of two different chemotherapies. One of the agents was rituximab.
Absolutely.
Which is a monoclonal antibody.
Sure.
But other than that, it was standard chemo.
And did your PET scan become negative as far as you know?
They think it is. The mass in my spleen, it's just like a thin rim that's showing less and less activity, and there's dead cells in the middle, and the whole thing is just shrinking away. So they think it's headed in that direction where it's just going to be gone. It's just resolving. The metabolic index is really low in the PET scan.
Excellent.
So I'm considered to be in remission. I'll have my next scan in July, I believe.
Oh, that's wonderful. And when getting a negative PET scan is certainly a very good prognostic feature that hopefully this won't recur. You know, in general, with recurrence of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, you know, the field is evolving. A auto transplant can potentially still cure about 50% of patients, but an auto transplant is obviously, it's a transplant. It's not as bad as an allo transplant where you get, you know, your bone marrow back from somebody else. So essentially an auto is where they take your own bone marrow cells, harvest it, and then give treatment and then give it back. So it's much, much easier and much better than an allo from standpoint of side effects.
I kind of want to shy away from that just because they blast you with high dose chemo.
Yeah, it's a tough treatment, and
don't want anymore.
No, I hear you. You know, and so the field is evolving with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. These agents are showing the immunotherapy, the PD-1 and L1 agents are showing activity, and so. You know, it's going to remain still to be seen in the next 2 or 3 years what combinations can get who into what percentage of people can get in a deep remission with immunotherapy. So certainly something to keep an eye out for and ask about in the future. Hopefully this never obviously comes back. And
I could check with clinicaltrials.gov and see what kind of trials are out there.
Oh, absolutely. That's correct.
Treatment.
Chris, thank you very much for your call. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't want to give the number because if I give the number, somebody will call and won't get in. So here's one over the internet we got. Hi, I found out in 2008 I had prostate cancer and was caught early and I was cured. and was wondering if this, quote, wonder drug would be appropriate for nowadays. That's from Stu in Poughkeepsie.
So, yeah, thanks for your email, Stu. So these agents are not yet been fully tested in prostate cancer. So the trials are just sort of in their very infancy to be looked into. One of the first immunotherapies that got FDA approval in 2010 was in prostate cancer, where it's called cipollucel T, where they basically take your white blood cells and then expose them to certain antigens and then they give them back. We've seen some benefit in people with advanced prostate cancer in terms of living a few months longer, but nothing very dramatic. So there hasn't been yet any evidence to show that these agents work in prostate cancer, but they're being looked into. So it's a bit too early to be able to say for sure, but maybe in the next couple of years we'll be able to know who responds and if so, you know, to what degree.
Okay. Let me just sort of sum up. We only have a couple of seconds now. We've been talking about immunotherapy, and our Dr. Amir Harandi is an expert in that from a medical oncologist at Dyson Center for Cancer Care at Vassar Brothers Medical Center in Poughkeepsie. And he tells us a number of things. Number one, if you think you might be a candidate for this, you might want to go online, and you might want to go to
ClinicalTrials.gov.
ClinicalTrials.gov.
Available on a trial, or it might be FDA approved, and you may be able to get it just as a standard treatment.
And the two key words you've been talking about today, the drugs that have proven to be effective are?
One of them is called Nivolumab, Nivolumab, otherwise known as Opdivo, Opdivo. The other one is the drug Jimmy Carter got, which is Pembrolizumab, Pembrolizumab, also known by its trade name as Keytruda, Keytruda. But I would just want to mention that there's a few other ones out there. So you might want to do a Google search and write PD-1 antibodies and PD-L1 antibodies, because some of them have just, you know, an MPD followed by a number behind it. So you don't want to potentially not see those on clinicaltrials.gov. So you want to kind of find a search that has a number of them and then look for each one.
So we are out of time. My apologies to those people who are left on the line, which is no one. I want to thank Dr. Amir Harandi for joining us today. Support for Medical Monday comes from Nathan Litauer Hospital, Gloversville, New York. Community hospital for over 100 years, proudly introducing the gastroenterologist specialist of Litauer, working to help put patients at ease with colonoscopies, NLH.org. Thanks to our engineer, Zach Malloy. Thanks to Joe Makowitz. Terrific for answering the phones. Our producers, Jessica Blaustein Marshall. I'm Alan Chartok. Thanks again, everybody, for joining us on the Vox Pop. Remember, the conversation continues online at wamc.org/VoxPop. Stay tuned now for a news update.